why is it that the bride has to be on the left and the groom has to be on the right? Who cares? If it doesn't mean anything to us, then let's switch. You don't care what side you're on, right? Yeah. I'm going to like all the photos from my wedding day because it's going to be of my good side.
The other thing about sitting wherever you want, you know, you don't have to have a groom side or a bride side. Like, everyone's here for us, not specifically one side or the other.
Yeah.
And so you wrote a poem. Do you remember the poem?
Roses are red, violets are blue.
Poetry is hard. Sit wherever you want.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Kapower Hour. I'm Lauren Powell.
And I'm Sean Casey.
And we are the Kapows. Kapow.
Kapow.
Pacow.
I feel like
Cacao.
You. Oh.
That's chocolate.
That's new.
So last week on the podcast, we had a very heavy emotional episode.
Yep.
This episode's going to be a lot lighter, but I did want...
Just as much crying, though.
Yeah. I did want to just briefly touch on, you know, kind of the response that we got from the episode last week. I could not have predicted the response. It was truly overwhelming. Looking back, I'm like, why did I want to do this again? Why was I opening up? And it was, I thought it was just because I didn't want people to like compare themselves to me and didn't want people to think everything's so perfect on social media. But the response was just like hundreds of messages, of which I assure you, I read them all. I didn't reply because again, it was overwhelming, but I read every single message. So many women have been through a similar story or just were really touched by the podcast because now they feel like they know how to speak to women in their lives who have gone through something terrible. Mm-hmm. So many women felt alone and like they were the only ones who went through something similar. Mm-hmm. And so to hear so many different people go through it and say that they felt like seen. All that was like eye-opening. You really don't know what the women in your life are going through. Mm-hmm. That is the biggest takeaway. We're out here silently suffering.
Yeah.
And you just don't know.
And I appreciate you grouping me in with you in this. but let's be honest, like that episode was 90% you and your story. So I think it was very, very brave of you to do that. And thank you for like, you know, letting me be part of it and helping me take credit for it. But let's be honest, it was, and I know that's going to make you even more uncomfortable by me saying that, but
you were a part of, you were there, you bore witness to
yes,
my entire experience.
Yes, of course. I just appreciate.
I don't want to talk about feelings.
Okay. No feelings this episode. No, drink whiskey.
There's
Sean.
No crying in podcasts.
Mm-hmm. But it was just very overwhelmingly supportive and just amazing to hear everyone's stories. And I mean, not amazing, but
it's amazing. I felt like everyone's kind of therapist or diary for a moment. I got so many just personal messages. There, you know, tons of comments. Those are public comments of people kind of sharing their stories. But then the private messages of people like pouring their hearts out and telling me their stories. I hope that was cathartic for everyone because it felt like everybody was opening up to me in maybe a way that they weren't able to do.
Yeah. And you wanted to be able to like respond to everything, but then it very quickly, you know, we realized, oh my gosh, if you have this conversation with every single person, it's going to be really hard for you as well.
Yeah. But just wanted to let everybody know, I read all your messages. Most of them made me cry. So thanks for that. I'm overwhelmed by, you know, the positive response to that mm-hmm. episode. So thank you guys for being here with us. We're going to give you, you know, yeah, not everything on social media is happy-go-lucky all the time. But one of the things I really try to do is be positive and be lighthearted and be a place for people to go. I love getting the messages that people are like, oh man, whenever I have a bad day at work, I go watch your videos and I just laugh and it's the medicine I needed. So that's what we want today's episode to be. Lighthearted, happy. We're going to try to improve your mood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do it.
So what happened this week, Shawnee?
We celebrate our 8-year anniversary.
Woo!
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
8 years.
8 years. That's crazy, but amazing. It's cremazing.
It's cremazing. So we had not been back to the place that we got married at, even though it's only 30 minutes from our house.
Yeah, so we got married in San Diego, even though we lived in LA And we've been back in San Diego for almost 3 years now.
And somehow
still did not make our way up to our wedding venue, which it's not just a normal, yeah, okay, most people don't go to their wedding venue, but it's a vineyard.
Yeah, it's a winery with food.
It's music. A great place. Yeah, it's like a fun place to visit. And we, why did we wait to go? Well, so we went yesterday, spoiler, we went yesterday. Why did we wait until I can't drink to go?
I don't know. I have no idea.
We are dumb. We are dumb people.
We are not smart people.
Yeah, so we got married at Orfila Vineyards. It's in like Rancho Bernardo, almost Escondido. It's beautiful. If you're in the area, Southern California, it's a great little winery. I loved our wedding venue. I still do to this day, like 8 years later.
Yeah, we went back and we're just like, oh my gosh, this is just as beautiful as I remembered it.
Going there, not having been there since our wedding day, the last time we left the property, the lights were on, but no one was home. For me.
Yeah. So things were a little dim at that point.
Yeah. So going back was like, oh, wow. I remember this place kind of. Yeah.
It was cool, though. We walked the grounds. We went to like, oh, this is where the ceremony was. This is where the dance floor was. This is where we had our lip sync battle.
Mm-hmm. And it had changed a little bit there. I remember. So the lawn where our ceremony was, we got married Labor Day weekend. It was very hot, very warm. And the lawn where the ceremony was half covered in shade by these massive trees, which meant half of the wedding got to sit in the shade and half had to sit in the sun. And so if you look, it actually looks like it looks like I had more guests there for me because it was like everybody was crowded onto my side.
It was like a baseball stadium.
Yeah. But they cut those trees down for some reason.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that was different. Everything looked like it was frozen in time.
Yeah.
And obviously vines regenerate. So that's cool.
It was the same grapes as last time.
Vintage.
But I had a couple glasses of wine. The wine was delicious.
Great.
We bought a bottle for Lauren to have post-pregnancy.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. My bottle.
Just for
her. I'm starting right now a collection. Every time we go somewhere and you get a glass of wine, I'm buying a bottle and we're saving it for November.
That sounds great.
Lauren's wine.
Yep. Just for you.
Yeah. Okay. So one thing I learned about going back to our wedding venue is going to vineyards and wineries when you can't drink is no fun. There's nothing to do. Water is only so wet. You know,
I mean, it was beautiful. We sat there. We had great conversation. We talked about our wedding. You know, besides talking to each other and enjoying each other's company, there's not a lot of fun things to do.
I enjoy your company all day. So, yeah, it was just a little bit like, okay, we definitely need to come back when I can drink. Mm-hmm. So,
up until this past weekend, you were like, I don't care about drinking. Yeah. I don't know. And then all of a sudden you're like, I want some wine.
Yeah.
Like, so that's, finally adding up a little bit.
Yeah. A friend of ours asked this past weekend, like, how hard has it been giving up alcohol? And obviously it's like not hard at all when you have to do it. And it's not like I miss like seltzers, because seltzers are just carbonated water. I can have that if I want it. I don't miss like taking shots, which you only do to get a certain effect that you want.
Wait, you're saying you don't enjoy taking shots of Fireball?
No. Don't put words in my mouth. It's a means to an end.
Yes.
Means to end ends. Means to an end.
And it's means to an end.
Fold in the cheese.
What?
It's a Schitt's Creek reference.
Oh.
Anyway, what it means to an end? What the hell does that even mean?
You do what's necessary to achieve the goal at the end.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So it is means to an end.
Yeah.
Plural means, singular end. What the hell was I talking about?
Shots.
Why was I talking about shots? Oh, boy.
You're talking about like not missing alcohol.
Oh, yeah. And, like, shots are a means to an end.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. That's a very poignant thought.
Here we are. Welcome back.
I'm sleepy. I don't sleep well these days. What I really miss is wine, because wine, you enjoy the taste of wine. Maybe the other reason is like I've had mocktails. Mm-hmm. You know, we go to a bar and I'll get a fagarita, fake margarita. So I'm getting the same sourness, tartness, sweetness without the buzz, but still that taste I'm getting, you know, it's scratching that itch. But wine is something that you drink for the taste.
Yeah.
And of course, the delightful buzz.
Yeah.
But I really miss wine.
And it's not like you can go to a winery and buy a glass of NA well, I mean, they probably didn't even sell it. I don't even look, no. But it's just not the same.
It's not the same. It's close. I have a couple NA wines that I have found that I think in a pinch are good. If I'm going over to a friend's house and everyone's drinking wine, I'll bring that. But it's not like I'm opening a bottle here mm-hmm. to drink with dinner. Mm-hmm. I'll just have water. Yeah. So I am reaching that point. I'm reaching the, I can't wait to have my first sip of red wine.
Yeah. It was a good run.
We still have like 9 weeks left.
Doesn't seem like that. Sometimes it seems like it's a long way away. And then sometimes it seems like, oh my God, we're going to blink and it's going to be here.
When we think about how soon we'll have a baby, it feels very close. When I think about how much longer till I can have a drink, it feels very far. So it just depends what your reference is.
Depends on the perspective.
So we had our wedding on Labor Day weekend, which I love. And every anniversary, we usually take a trip somewhere, which is great because it's a long weekend, makes it easier.
We have a day off.
Yeah. So basically for the past 8 years, we've taken a trip every year that we've been able. This year we didn't because we just did our baby moon. I needed to do the baby moon before I hit a certain amount of weeks. It wouldn't be as fun for me to go on vacation.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So anyway, this woman on TikTok, she says, it's her opinion that if you have a wedding on a holiday weekend, you're an asshole. She was like, your wedding is not the greatest day of everyone else's life. You know, we know you've been thinking about it forever, but none of us have. And now we have to give up. I don't want to give up a holiday for your wedding. And to her, I say, don't go. Don't go. Who cares? We're not going to miss you. See you later. You know how hard it is to get a wedding venue on a holiday weekend? It is one of the most desired times.
Yeah.
Well, because so many people are traveling in, and it's easier for them to travel in when they have a day off.
Who hurt her?
Seriously. I was just like, girl, that is an opinion. You should keep that to yourself because you just got uninvited. All your friends watching that are like, girl, we are not inviting you.
What were the comments like?
I'm sure there's plenty of people who agree, but I'm like, you clearly have never thrown a wedding.
Even me going to weddings, I want an extra day. Out of state weddings, right? If I have to travel from California to Michigan or New York or North Carolina or whatever, I want that extra day. You know, like if it's on a short weekend, that makes it way harder.
You get more time to spend with the people that you flew in to see.
Yeah.
Or you get an extra day to recover so that your whole weekend is not given up.
I was like, do you hate your friends?
Are you just awful? I'm like, what kind of weddings are you going to that you're not excited? I don't usually like to take sides in controversial topics, but this one, I'm just like, what an unhappy thought to have.
I know.
Weddings are so fun. I love going to my friends' weddings. I would do anything to go to
a wedding on any day. Like, it's just like, it doesn't matter. But like, if you gave me an extra day, great. That just improves the entire experience. Yeah. So I have no idea why.
I can't wait for her to throw a wedding. And when she realizes how much better it is better for everyone and how much more people make it easier for people to fly in when they have an extra day.
Yeah. I mean, I just remember when we were looking for our venue, like we were going and we were looking like for the following year. Right. And we'd be like, hey, we just want any Saturday from August through October. And they're like, this year? And we're like, maybe. And they're like, no, we're booked till next year.
Forever.
It was like 2.5 years out. And we're just like, What?
And we had thought, we had naively thought it would be amazing to score
Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day weekend. But yeah. Then we quickly realized that that was not going to happen until Orfila Vineyards comes in and they had the weekend open and we just gave them our bank account information right there.
Yeah. In the spot. Well, they're like, you know, what, again, what weekend are you looking for? And I'm like, well, ideally Labor Day, but really any Saturday, yeah, like in this 6 month period. And they're like, yeah, we have Labor Day. It's like, and we're like, we take all our money. Sign.
Yeah.
So I wonder how things are now. Like
your brother, they got married over Memorial Weekend.
Yeah. No, I just meant, sorry, I just meant like booking 2 years out. Like, is it still crazy?
It just, the more popular the wedding venue, the harder it is to get the date. That's how, it's always going to be like that.
2 years though?
For certain really popular wedding venues for a Saturday, yeah, whatever. Those are the type of people who are just either putting down deposits when they don't even have a ring yet, or they're perfectly fine being engaged for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like, you only get to be engaged, you only get to be a fiancé once. And so to rush through that, I understand, like, totally. It's the fun to get have the place a two-year. Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you do differently about our wedding if you could have a do-over? Because our 10 years coming up, just saying, would you do anything differently?
Yeah, of course. I think,
what? It was a trick question. Our wedding was perfect.
Oh, man. Okay, then the amount of flowers we had was the perfect amount.
Okay, you're right. I would do some. No, there are some things I would do differently.
Oh, okay.
Here, okay, what go. Would you yeah. do?
I think, obviously, we didn't have a ton of money, so we skimped on certain things. And I think wedding photographer was skimped, one.
Yeah.
We skimped. I would have liked to have a bigger production of it. Mm-hmm. Our videographer was amazing. And that at the time, that was a stretch for us to do that.
We spent more on our videographer than our photographer because that was our priority at the time.
Yeah. And he was amazing. And that turned out really well. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I wish I had like put enough resources towards photography as we did videography.
Yeah.
So that was one big thing. I mean, our photos still turned out great, but I just, having worked with other really good photographers since then, I'm like, oh, this is, or like seeing some of our friends' wedding photos. It's like, oh yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So the other thing was, again, transportation. We definitely skimped. We were just trying to get
on the wedding parties.
On the wedding parties, transportation. We were just trying to get the cheapest limo possible. And one guy was way cheaper. And I was like, oh, can you get 9 groomsmen in there? And he's like, yeah, no problem. And then he shows up and it's like 6 people would be uncomfortable in there. And I'm just like, okay, there's a reason that he was half the price of everyone else. Yeah. So we just didn't have the financial flexibility to, you know, be like, I don't care how much it costs. I just want to have like the most comfortable ride for my groomsmen and obviously the bridesmaids. So I'm trying to think.
So what you would do differently is have more money. That's what you would go back in time and wish for more, rob a bank, have more money.
Yeah. Have more money.
Which is funny because, like, I don't remember thinking at the time. It didn't feel like we were sacrificing. It didn't feel like we were skimping.
No.
It felt like a lot of money. It was obviously, a lot of money.
We still spent a lot of money. Yeah.
Weddings just cost a ton. The nice thing is, at the time, it didn't feel like skimping or sacrificing or like we were missing out.
Yeah, definitely so that's, not.
At least looking back, I don't feel
honestly,
like we deprived ourselves of anything.
Those are the only two things. Like I love how we did our wedding and I still like we went back and looked at photos and I'm just like, man, we had a blast. It like I really don't think I would have done much differently. Mm-hmm. I know you wanted more flowers.
Yeah. I mean, I was at a different place in my life back then too. So I was like, well, the whole point of getting married at a vineyard is the vineyard is the decor. It's stunning. And flowers are like the most expensive thing about a wedding. They just are. I don't know the flower industry. So I don't know if flowers just cost a lot or if florists actually it just takes a lot of time. I don't know why wedding flowers are so much. There's clearly a reason. So I'm not going to badmouth the florist industry. But at the time I was like, I don't need it. I'll just do tons of baby's breath everywhere. And I still think that that was beautiful. I wish I had a bigger flower budget. If I could do it again, I would spend all the money on all the flowers. Because it's just, I've been to weddings.
Where are you taking that money from?
I don't know. The bank. Someone else's a credit card.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't have, that's a great point. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have taken budget from a different part of our wedding budget to give it to the flowers. I would have wanted more money. I would have put it on a credit card and figured it out later. The only other thing that I hate that we did about our wedding, and this was just the phase that I was in at that point, the majority of our wedding photos that are not candid, that are smile, stage, look at the camera, whatever, my mouth is open. I was just in this phase where I hated smiling and I didn't want anything taken too serious. This was that open mouth Lauren phase. You know what I mean? So I look back at all of our photos, the photo that I have with all my bridesmaids, it's just my mouth is wide open and I'm just like, and you know, now having done our maternity photos where I am like, I don't do that face anymore. I just make sure that I smile. I've just learned that I don't like taking posed photos.
Yeah.
And so that's why I don't like the traditional smile look into the camera lens. And I still don't, but you can smile and do candids.
You've learned to like find, get around that.
Yeah. So I regret just being a little shit, you know, that's just who I was. I just didn't want any serious photos and I regret that.
Yeah.
So, but whatever.
I mean, that list is pretty short.
I loved our wedding. I really did.
Yeah.
You know, whatever our exit song was, it's a little blurry that part of the night. I don't regret this either. We did a big grand exit and as we're like getting into our transportation, the DJ has the audacity to play one more song after we leave and the song he chooses is Wonderwall. I don't think so. I made us go back in after our exit. Us go back in.
Things are a little fuzzy, but I just remember you like tears streaming down your eyes. And you're like, Shawnee, I don't want to leave. I'm like, okay, then let's not leave. It's our wedding. Let's go back.
Yeah.
So we did the encore. Yeah. We came back.
Yeah. I just everyone stood around us while I cried and we all sang Wonderwall.
Which is awesome. I love that.
But I'm just like, how dare you, DJ? The last song is the song the bride and groom leave on. There isn't one more.
Yeah, there's not one more for the rest of the group.
No!
Yeah, thinking about that, it's like, no. No, the whole point is the people there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whatever, it makes for a good story.
It is. Yeah, it's a good story.
Yeah. And I think the photographers were still there. That's the other thing that like, the poor photographers. We were that bride and groom that you could not peel off the dance floor. We curated our DJ playlist. It was every song that we knew we would want to hear, which meant every time we were at the bar or like someone pulled us away and then the next song came on, we were like, oh my God, we gotta go. So we were hot, sweaty, disgusting messes by the end of the wedding that the photographers were like, why are we still here? Like they photographed it and they're the grossest photos. We don't use those photos
ever
because we're just like, we are disgusting. We've been dancing for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
It was hot.
I mean, you have to give them credit. You know, they stayed around. They, you know, like we didn't gel with them, but they were there.
They hustled.
Yeah, they got the photos. Like I said, our photos turned out really well.
They got the shots.
I think, you know, that's a point of contention about music is like hiring the DJ and letting the DJ do their job. And we just were like, we know exactly the songs that we want to hear. And we know that, and more importantly, we know the songs we don't want to hear.
Yeah.
And so, and our goal was to have people on the dance floor the entire time. And so at weddings, you have ebbs and flows, and the ebbs are when the DJ picks a song that no one likes. So,
and like, we care so much about the playlist. Like when we have parties and barbecues in our backyard, I have so many playlists on Spotify that are like 2018 barbecue, 2019 cookout. It's like, I love curating the music for our parties. A lot of people don't care. A lot of people are just like, oh, DJ, do your thing. That's not us. And it was really important that we got to pick all of our music and I don't regret it at all. And I've been to one of our friends, Alex, there you go. There's your second shout out. She went to like, I don't know, 10 weddings this year or something. And one of the things by the end, she was like, all this music is the same. All the DJs are all playing the same classic wedding hits. And it's like, that's not what you want when, you know, if someone is going to their 10th wedding, which happens to be yours, you don't want the same, you don't want to hear the same music.
Some of it's good. Like, obviously there's some classics, but you don't want the same playlist over and over.
I loved our wedding playlist. We actually, it's funny, when we put it together, it was like 5 hours long and the dance portion was only going to be 3 hours or something. So I was like, oh, 5 hours is plenty to give to the DJ. And then at some point he put on a song. I knew our playlist so well that when he put on a song that was not on my list, I was like, why is he playing this song? And I had somebody, one of my bridesmaids, go up and ask him why he's playing this song. And he was like, I ran out of songs because, you know, they skip or they only
play the full 3 minutes of every song.
Yeah. So that's my bad.
Yeah. I think one of the funny things I remember about our wedding is when we were early on, you were like, one of the one songs I don't want to hear. Because at the time, Bruno Mars' Uptown Funk was really popular.
Overplayed.
And you were just like, I do not want to hear this song. And I was like, okay, no problem. And literally 24 hours later, I get a text from my mom and she's like, the only request I have for songs is Bruno Mars' Uptown Funk. I'm like, am I being punked right now? What is going on? I'm like, okay, is this how marriage is? My wife is like, this is the one song that I absolutely do not want to hear. And my mom is like, this is the one song I absolutely do want to hear.
Yeah. And who won?
My mom.
Yeah.
No, but then we're like, all right, you'll take a bathroom break.
Yeah.
So that was like the one song you weren't on the dance floor
for. It was perfectly timed. It came on and I was like, see ya. Grab my bridesmaid. We went to the bathroom, got help with my dress. By the time I came back out, Usher was on. It was great. And then Kim got her song. And the thing is, that song is a hit.
Right. Like, everyone loves that song.
I just, in particular, it was so overplayed to me that I was annoyed with it. But no big deal. It's not like it's fine.
I just thought it was hilarious. Like,
hilarious.
Like a week.
What are the chances?
Yeah, a week into wedding planning.
Yeah.
this is what I'm dealing with.
Yeah. If that was like the most drama we had planning our wedding, then we're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We survived.
We approached this from the perspective of it's our day. Like if we don't want to do it, we're not going to do it. Like tradition be damned.
Yeah. If it's just some weird wedding tradition where you don't even know the history of why it is the way it is, we questioned everything.
Yeah.
And we were like, we're not including this if it doesn't mean anything to us.
Yeah. And so like, that was the cool thing is it opened up a lot of time and things for us to do whatever we wanted of our own.
One of which was which side the bride and groom have to stand on. Yeah. And I hate the right side of my face. I don't know. We all have our thing, okay? I'm not crazy. I'm a left side. I prefer the left side of me. The farthest you can go back in the history of me, like online, is my like senior portraits from high school. That was before I knew I had a good side and a bad side. And my senior portraits are from the right side. And I look like a different human. I look unrecognizable from that side. Anyway, so I was like, screw this. Why is it that the bride has to be on the left and the groom has to be on the right? What is that based in? Who cares? If it doesn't mean anything to us, then let's switch. You don't care what side you're on, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to know that all the photos, I'm going to like all the photos from my wedding day because it's going to be of my good side.
Yeah.
So that was one tradition I was happy to.
And then the other thing about sitting wherever you want, I really like that you came up with this. So we're like, we don't, you know, you don't have to have a groom side or a bride side. Like everyone's here for us, not specifically one side or the other.
Yeah.
And so you wrote a poem. Do you remember the poem?
Roses are red, violets are blue.
Poetry is hard. Sit wherever you want.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's funny.
So if you could like summarize our wedding in one poem.
Yeah.
That's it.
I forgot about that.
But we also like, we just wanted to like inject our personalities into every aspect of it.
Yeah. And I think we're still like that, even with planning my baby shower, you know, I want everything to still be on brand to me. And how can I how can I make every little thing just tweak it a little bit and make it feel more personal and less just like we got it off Pinterest, which is nothing wrong with getting off Pinterest. I just want everything to feel unique to us and our wedding. I think we did a pretty good job of that.
One of my favorite pieces of our wedding, that was my idea, was I was like, what if we made our wedding programs our faces?
Yeah, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Dude, this was before, I just called you dude.
Bro. Dude, bro.
This was before, so nowadays you can get your face on anything.
Yeah, it's very common, very easy.
8 years ago, we had to DIY so much stuff and we made our program, our face program. So half of our programs were my face, half were Sean's face. So on one side, it had our face. The other side, it had the itinerary. And then it was like on a little popsicle stick so you could use it to like hold it up. And it's like a little mask and it's a fan. And it didn't exist. You couldn't just go on the internet and buy, like, even if we had all the money in the world.
Yeah, that was just didn't exist.
It didn't
at that
exist
time.
Yet. So we had to like print our faces on cardstock. And then our friend who has like a ton of tools in his garage
actually cut it with a saw.
He had to cut it with a saw to be the shape of our face.
I forgot about that.
And then we had to glue them all to popsicles. Like we had to glue. Yeah, it was. we DIY'd that because, and now you don't even have to.
Yeah,
we
save companies so much just time. Do that.
Maybe the only other thing I would have done differently is I would have let our photographer know that we were possibly considering having you put me on your shoulder when we walked down the aisle because he was not prepared for that photo.
Well, we didn't plan that. Yeah. That just happened.
We had kind of thought about it, but I was like, I don't know, don't do it. And then in the moment, you were like, can I do it? And I was like, oh, okay, sure. And our photographer was just not prepared. He wasn't in the right spot to grab that.
Yeah. I think that's tough to be like, hey, we could do this. Also, we didn't have a huge photography crew. So, like, we've gone to weddings where there's, like, five photographers. Yeah. And it's like, oh, yeah, they didn't miss anything.
Because... We had two, and they met that day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the other things that I really liked that we did is we hired an Irish band to play traditional Irish music.
They were so good. Right after we got engaged, we celebrated in Ireland, and everywhere we went in Ireland, every bar you walk into, it's just like neighborhood, it's a neighborhood jam. Everyone has an instrument and they're all just playing and it's amazing. Like it was the coolest thing about Ireland to me. And so when we incorporated that, incorporating that into our wedding was epic and awesome. And, you know, like we're both Irish and proud of our Irish heritage and having that be the dinner music and they played our ceremony music when we walked down the aisle. Breath. I'm just out of breath just from being pregnant, just from being alive and talking and very fast. One of the comments I got from you guys from Madeline Fagan, she says, what advice do you have for newly engaged couples that are getting ready to be married?
I think, and I said this earlier, we approached it from what matters to us. And so, and we like kind of set our parents up for this. We're like, hey, you know, there are things that matter to us and there are things about weddings that don't matter to us. And so we're going to cut those. Like we're going to really, really focus on and try and make this the most personalized experience for us. Mm-hmm. And so I think that like once you come to that like realization that you don't have to do all of these things, time is so limited at your wedding.
Yeah.
And so if you waste 15, 20 minutes on something and you waste another 15 or 20 minutes.
That doesn't mean anything to you.
Right. So we just tried to eliminate anything that did not hold meaning to us.
Yeah. My advice would be put your bar near your dance floor.
Yeah.
Put your bar near your dance floor because people are going to hang out near the bar. And if the bar, let's say your dance floor is inside and the venue wants you to have your bar outside of where the dance floor is in a different room, people are going to be hanging out by the bar and they're not going to be on your dance floor. If you care about everybody dancing, put your bar near your dance floor.
And some people don't care about dancing. Some bride and grooms don't dance. That's fine. Yeah. We were like, we want the dance floor to be packed the entire time. And so I think the key is
bar near the dance floor.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
Speaking of things that cost a lot of money, we test drove some strollers today.
Here we go.
We're in a fight about the stroller.
We are in a stroller battle.
Yeah. I think we have done at least, we have narrowed it down to two strollers. And one is gorgeous and sexy and so pretty to look at. And the thought of toting around a screaming, crying child seems a little easier in this beautiful, beautiful stroller. And then the other
works really well, perfectly.
the only difference between these two strollers, other than the aesthetic, is the one that Sean likes breaks down, collapses a little bit easier. That's the only difference.
I mean,
to me, the only difference that matters. Like they both are good strollers. They both handle really well. Safety features out the wazoo. Like all of those things, they're great. There's the only hang up with the one that I like more is just, there's like one extra step to collapsing it and picking it up.
Just multiply that by 1,000 times that you're doing it.
But the majority of our time with the stroller is pushing it around while it's built.
Exactly.
Not breaking it down. You break it down for 5 seconds, twice a trip, right? Once to put it in, once to get it out. Like to me, you spend so much more time with it built. Why would we choose the stroller just based on how it breaks down?
I think there's a little bit more than just breaking down.
I don't. I think there is a breakdown.
You're blinded by the rose gold.
It is so pretty and it makes me excited about having a stroller.
So should we buy a stroller based on looks or we should buy a stroller based on functionality?
They both function great.
Relatively well. It's not the same. It's not as good.
It's not like one is awful.
Right. But shouldn't we buy it based on functionality?
They both function. They have functionality.
They carry the baby.
So anyway, we're in a fight, and don't even bother voicing your opinion on the internet. Don't even bother, because I know you're all going to say, looks don't matter, but I don't care.
I love that care. You know that you're actually kind of wrong in this, but you're just wrong. Sticking to your guns.
I'm not wrong. It's just a different perspective. My perspective is
I want something that's cute.
No, in this instance, I want a stroller that's really cute. And it functions as good enough, as closely. Like, the only downfall is the breakdown.
I'd be a little less adamant about this if we hadn't already had this, like, analogous experience in our life a few times.
What are you talking about?
Your last two cars that you've picked out.
I love my car.
You love
This is a great example. The car that we currently drive is sexy. It's beautiful. I love the way it looks, and I love the way it makes me feel. It's missing a few features that kind of piss me off, but like the pros and cons, I love how the car makes me feel when I'm in it, and that outweighs those few features that I'm missing.
What about the other previous two cars?
Dude, I love my Mini Cooper. You're not going to get me talking trash about my Mini Cooper. Sure, it was
awful to ride in.
For you, again, I felt cute in it. Like,
okay, so in this instance, am I the baby?
Why?
It was awful for you to ride in, but I felt great in it.
No, that's yes, not fair.
I'm wrong. The baby.
The stroller, you're saying that the baby's experience is going to be equal in either stroller.
I agree with that.
It's just your experience breaking down the stroller that's going to be different. But this is a great example of, like, women or people in general, you don't understand what it's like to buy a pair of shoes that are so cute and to wear them even though they're so uncomfortable because you love how they look on you. I have been doing this for years. I have been putting myself in uncomfortable clothes, buying uncomfortable shoes because of how it makes me feel, because of how cute it is. And I suffer through the pain, and I will suffer through your pain of breaking down the stroller. What? What are you making a face for? Do you know what it's like to wear heels?
I just don't understand that you're like, I have suffered and we're going to continue suffering.
I'm just saying that the extra seconds, the extra step to break down the stroller is enough of a sacrifice for the other benefits that I feel like I'm getting from the stroller.
Okay, so what if we could get a customized version of the other stroller that mimicked the rose gold metallic feature?
Can you do that?
I could give it a shot.
Not spray painting?
Not spray painting.
Because, like, you don't want to add toxic.
No, I know.
I'm open to it.
Nuna, if you're listening, can we trick out our ride?
Anyway, so, well, speaking of the pregnancy, Tums sent me a pregnancy gift this week.
They were watching the White Claw video and were like,
we need to step it up.
Yeah.
No, they must have seen our gender prediction video where I talked about how horrible my heartburn has been this whole pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they sent me like a lifetime supply of Tums. They sent me a bunch of snacks. They sent me a bunch of snacks that induce heartburn, which is hilarious. They sent me like spicy Cheetos.
And yeah, Takis.
Takis and hot Doritos and then a bunch of cookies and stuff. So they were like, here's a problem, but we have the solution. Here you go. Yeah. It was a lifetime supply of Tums. It was very cute.
Yeah.
I don't accept free things often because a lot of times it just feels not tailored to me. It just feels like brands just wanting to
get free press,
free exposure. And it doesn't feel personalized, and it doesn't feel like something that I actually am interested in. Like, obviously Rare Beauty wants to send me something. Yeah, I'm taking it. Like, that is something that I was using before they sent it to me. So very particular about the things I allow brands to send me for free. And it's funny, in this pregnancy, they are really stepping up what they're sending. Like, White Claw sending such personalized gifts to me, then Tum sending this personalized gifts to me. I love it. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if any of the baby stroller companies are listening.
Seriously. One of the things that Tums also sent me was a beer koozie, or maybe it's a Tums koozie.
It's a Tums koozie. We originally thought it was a beer koozie, yeah. But the shape is you hold the Tums and it has a pop socket on it.
Hilarious.
You just drink the Tums.
I didn't understand.
Yeah.
But anyway, I called it a koozie in the video that I made. I got a comment on TikTok that says, Aussie here, koozie, you mean a stubby holder? And my mouth dropped open. I have never heard of a beer koozie called a stubby holder in my life.
No,
it's clearly never. An Australian thing.
Yeah.
So you haven't heard of stubby holder?
No.
What do you call the thing that holds your beer?
A koozie. But I've also heard cozy. Beer koozie, beer cozy.
And how do you spell it?
K-O-O-Z-I-E.
Yeah. I know. I did some research.
Okay.
Because this got me, I was just so tickled by the idea that in Australia it's called a stubby holder.
Stubby holder.
What's the Speedo called in Australia, remember?
Oh, budgie smuggler.
Budgie smuggler?
Yeah.
Okay. R&R. R&R. Tangent. I saw this thing that was like, if you say the letters R-N-R out loud, it sounds like you're saying oh no with an Australian accent. Yeah. So if you say R&R.
So I remember you told me that like we were laying in bed at like 10:30 at night and we just like laid there giggling for like 5 minutes straight.
Yeah. I just love the way Australians speak. Yeah. Okay. So I did some. So in case you're not familiar with what a beer koozie is, it's a can cooler. It's those little neoprene sleeves that you put on your beverage to keep it cold, keep it from sweating. More recently, more modern are like Brewmates or Yetis. They're like metal can coolers.
Yep.
So anyway, that originally was called like a koozie here in the US. So I was looking up what are other terms for beer, for koozie. So can cooler, beer cozy.
Yeah.
Actually, if you say beer cozy, you're using it wrong because a cozy is padded like a koozie, but it's actually meant to keep beverages hot.
Oh.
So in the 1800s, the concept appears in British history when teapots are wrapped in knitted covers to retain warmth.
Okay.
So that's kind of where koozie originated, where you're putting clothes on your beverages.
Yeah.
That's a cozy.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
So then they're like, we want to keep it cool. So it's a koozie.
Coolzie.
Coolzie.
So another term I've never heard, huggy.
No.
Beer hugger.
Are those Canadian?
I don't know. Beer sleeve, beer jacket. And this one, I'm going to start using this one from now on. It's a coldy holdy.
A coldy holdy.
It's a coldy holdy. It's exactly what it
holdy.
Is.
Yeah. That is so descriptive.
Sean, let me get a coldy holdy. Yeah. Did you bring your coldy holdies?
I love it.
I love it. I need to know if you're listening, if you have heard any of these terms. I need to know if you use these terms and where you're located. Regionally, yeah. I need to know what region these terms have originated.
I'm very interested to hear the Canadians out there because you guys have the best descriptions for anything alcohol related. So,
or just like Chesterfield, that's a couch. In Australia, the reason it's called a stubby holder is because beer in Australia is commonly bottled in 375 milliliter short and stubby bottles.
Really? But a stubby bottle?
Like a red stripe?
Oh, is that a stubby?
That's a stubby.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I like stubby holder, but I like coldy holdy still the most. All right, who invented coldy holdy? Where does this term originate? I need to know.
Gotta know.
So this reminds me of the whole jungle juice debate.
Yeah.
At my college at UNC, I didn't know that what we called that juice, that drink, that mysterious drink at frat parties that is in like trash cans usually. And it's just gallons of liquid of lethal. It's like Kool-Aid, Everclear, Mountain Dew, Fruit Punch, like everything. And it's delicious and dangerous because you can't taste the alcohol. At my school, I didn't know that this was weird. We called it PJ.
And what does PJ stand for?
I have heard it stands for Purple Jesus.
Oh.
Because maybe sometimes it's purple.
Oh, okay.
The ones, I don't remember ever having a purple one, but we still called it, just called it PJ.
What about party juice?
Maybe it's party juice. Sure.
I mean, that's where I thought.
Yeah. But at your college, you called it what?
Jungle juice.
Most people called it jungle juice.
Yeah. Never heard of PJ.
And I thought maybe it was a Southern thing. Maybe I thought it was a North Carolina thing. So like a couple people were like, yeah, we called it PJ. But then a couple people were like, no, I'm in the South and we definitely called it jungle juice. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's always been jungle juice.
PJ.
Sure.
Anyway, stubby holder. Holdy holdy.
Yeah.
Speaking of colleges, I got another pregnancy gift this week from Chapel Hill Sportswear. We now are the proud owners of dozens of college-themed baby onesies, both from Michigan State, from all your friends giving us stuff, and then now from UNC, from Chapel Hill Sportswear.
I hope she likes sports.
Oh, boy. Is that how this works?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Start dressing her in sports gear from
the problem birth. Is we have way too much stuff for such a short window of sports and then she's gonna grow out of it.
Yeah.
So basically all of like January to March her clothes are only going to be sports, even if there isn't a game on. Yeah.
Well, hey, it's college basketball season, which is the most important for us. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of drinking too much of a certain substance and then a weird outcome.
Wow. The transition was longer than the actual statement coming.
I felt baby hiccups this week.
Yeah, which I didn't even know were a thing.
Yeah, I knew they were a thing. Your sister told me, like, have you felt hiccups yet? I was like, I don't know. What do they feel like? She was like, you'll know. And I don't know what I was expecting them to feel like, but it is not at all what I was expecting. So, of course, like, you go out of town, and I'm like, the baby's not kicking. I got a Doppler heart rate monitor out. I was, like, freaking out for absolutely no reason, just mostly because you were out of town, and nobody could talk me off the ledge. And anyway, one night while you were gone, I hadn't felt the baby kick in like all day. And then I just started feeling this like pulsing, and it felt like a really strong heartbeat. And I was like, what is that the baby? Is that the heartbeat? Am I dreaming? It was just like, dum, 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 dum. I had to Google it. I was like, what do baby hiccups feel like? And it was like a rhythmic pulsing, like right behind your belly button. And that's what it was. And so babies hiccup in utero when they're like drinking the amniotic fluid.
The AJ?
The AJ, yeah.
Amniotic juice?
Amniotic juice. Or placenta juice, PJ.
Oh, wow, placenta juice.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Might have to bleep that out.
She's just like chugging it and then...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this makes sense for us, right? Our baby's first like beer bong. She's just beer bonging amniotic fluid in the uterus right now.
Gets the hiccups. That's hilarious.
So that was really interesting.
It's very cute.
Yeah, cute little baby hiccups.
Yeah.
So it's like, imagine a baby and they're just going, hip, 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 hip. That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was.
I've had hiccups before.
Well, anyway.
It is cute. It's also cute watching you do the impersonation of a baby having hiccups.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you try a transition.
Speaking of someone sleeping and not knowing where they are. There's a woman who went on TikTok and said that her and her partner do not have dedicated sides of the bed. Is that good?
That's great. But what do you mean, speaking of sleeping and not knowing where you are?
The baby has no idea where it is. Oh. She's like spinning around, sleeping.
Sure.
Okay. Hiccuping.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this woman on TikTok like started a huge like shitstorm because her and her partner
just sleep in different sides of the bed every night.
Every time. Which is just psychotic behavior.
Psychopathic behavior.
I don't feel strongly about someone else's sleeping patterns, but I did try once to sleep on the other side of the bed because Godric comes to my side of the bed when he wants to come up at 5 a.m. and it wakes me up and I wasn't sleeping well. So I was like, let me just sleep on the other side. Maybe he'll go to you. No, he still found me.
Yeah. So it's you. It's not the side of the bed.
It must be.
Yeah.
Okay. So this was really interesting to me. I think I sleep on the left side of the bed.
And I also think that I sleep on the left side of the bed. So
this blows my mind.
To be clear, we both have dedicated sides of the bed that we've been sleeping on since we moved in together.
We just apparently disagree on perspective. What's the left side and what's the right side?
Yeah. So for my perspective, I'm looking at the bed from the foot of the bed. And I sleep on the left side, you sleep on the right side.
And I, a thespian, coming from my theater background.
From a theater background.
I sleep on stage left of the bed. So from the bed, my perspective, I'm on the left.
Yeah.
I didn't know that we thought, because it's never like, hey, you know, when we first started dating, we weren't like, what side of the bed do you sleep on? And we both weren't like left.
Right.
Because like.
Agreed.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like. It's wild to me that we have been sleeping in the same bed for a decade.
Yeah.
And it's never come up that we both think we're sleeping on the left side.
So what is the true left side?
I think it's personal.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm wrong, but I don't necessarily think you're wrong either.
Yeah.
So it could just be because like I did theater, and in theater that's, you're always thinking like you're always looking towards the audience.
Yeah.
Which
I was just going to say, maybe there's like some sort of like exhibition therapist thing that needs to be unpacked here.
I'm just performing. Yeah, I was like, from my perspective in bed, I'm on the left. That's stage left of the bed.
Yeah.
And the audience is in front of the bed, obviously. Anyway.
And I'm looking at us.
Yeah. And then that reminded me of that time I tried to get us tickets to go see Top Gun.
Yeah.
You can pick your seats ahead of time. And we get there and I'm like, I go to our seats and there's somebody in them. And so I ask like an attendant and I'm like, hey, I think there's someone in our seats. And they're like, no, I'll take you to your seat. They look at my ticket. They're like, I'll take you to your seats. And they take me to the front row. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, you bought front row tickets. And I was like, looking at the map that I had where I had chosen my seats on my phone. And I did. I completely ignored where it said screen and I flip-flopped it. So I thought I was buying back row and I was buying front row.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know how.
Because actually, yeah, I don't really understand that one because that I
can't
bought,
really explain it from stage left.
You
stage,
certainly
right?
can't. That was yeah. like, no, I guess that is stage left. I was buying the tickets from the perspective of the movie screen. And so I thought I was the movie screen.
You're just always on stage.
Right. I think that is what it comes from. It's just, it's the thespian in me.
Thank you, Moira. Wow. Okay. I just wonder what's more common, right? Like,
clearly I'm wrong in that instance. That was my B.
Maybe not. Maybe we should put a poll out there and people will vote. And I mean, I think I'm probably right, but
let us know.
Yeah. Let us
what
know
what you think.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a section of the podcast where we tell you something that we just found out this week. And the section of the podcast is called, I just found out.
There we go.
What did you just find out, Sean?
So I was on Instagram the other day and I was scrolling through and there was a tweet that had been turned into an Instagram post, as happens quite frequently. So this is a user named TJ. They posted, I just found out that going ham is short for hard as a motherfucker. And honestly, I just thought we all really liked ham and now I don't know what to feel. Going ham is going hard as a motherfucker, not just because you like ham.
I am shocked to silence. I am stunned speechless right now.
Yeah, me too.
I never questioned it.
Me neither.
Why, yes, why? You go ham.
Go ham.
There's so much weird slang out there. Why would I question that one?
Yeah, just like, I mean, ham is good. Ham
why
is delicious.
Isn't it, if it's hard as a mother effer, why isn't it hamph? Going hamph. Mother effer is two words.
Yeah.
I have questions. Logistics. That's fascinating. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Okay.
What else am I misinterpreting or not understanding? Lauren, what did you just find out?
I just found out that if my life depended on it, I would not know how to spell Reese's. So this week there was a crossword puzzle clue.
New York Times crossword puzzle, the mini.
Yeah. And it was a chocolate peanut butter cup, whatever.
It was like makers of candy cups or something like chocolate cups or something.
And I was like, oh, duh, it's Reese's. And I type in R-E-E-C-E-S.
You said R-E-C-C-E-S is how you originally spelled
C-E-E.
It.
C-E-E. I only have ever done one C.
I thought you messed up twice.
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
Because I think I did R-E-C-E-E-S. And then that like wasn't it. And so then I did R-E-E-C-E-S.
Yeah.
And then it was, I'm still not even certain right now. R-E-E-S-E-S?
I had it right. And I got it right. And now I'm questioning it.
It's R-E-E-S-E apostrophe S.
Yeah. Okay.
And because I realized I still say.
Reese's.
Reese's.
I know you say
Reese's.
Reese's
Pieces.
Yeah.
It's not Reese's
Pieces. Reese's Pieces.
Also, why am I saying pieces?
I don't know.
That's not a word.
Reese's Pieces.
That makes sense. Reese's Pieces. I was a speech and debate champion.
State champion.
What? Why? What happened to me that I'm getting this word wrong forever? And I will never, if I don't think about this for a year and this comes up again, I'm going to misspell it.
Yeah. It's weird how that just gets ingrained in you and the just have no idea.
Yeah, that's you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Can't teach an old Lauren how to say Reese's.
You can't teach a Sean how to say Bowie.
Yeah. At least it's not that bad. Okay. So what are our loves of the week, our capositives? What do you got?
We just started watching a show on Apple Plus called Drops of God.
So good.
So good.
Maybe this is why I really miss wine.
Because we've been watching a wine show all week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's a drama, thriller. It's really interesting because it's based in France. So you have French, but then there's also a Japanese component and English. So it's in all three languages.
Yeah.
And they subtitle everything. And they're just switching back and forth between all three languages the entire time.
And there's this like competition about wine. And then one of the women, so it's fictional. And the leads is like, one of the leads is really good at picking out flavors in wine. And I'm terrible at it. So it's really, it's fascinating. It's a really interesting, completely fictional. It isn't just like, here's a show about wine. Yeah. There's a premise that's like, to get, in order for this woman to get her inheritance, she has to do all these wine tests.
Yeah.
It's just really good.
And like every episode is like a movie.
Yeah.
Like it's just so it's well done. So
beautifully shot. Yeah. What's really helpful for me, if you're like me and you kind of have ADHD, especially with TV, the fact that it is in another language for, you know, it's like 30% French, 30% Japanese, and 30% English, 10%.
What's the other 10%?
Don't know. don't make me 33.333%.
Okay.
I have to pay attention. I have to read. I can't be on my phone. I can't get distracted because then if I don't read the subtitles, I miss what's yeah. happening. My capositive, that I want to mention. So there's this book, two books that I read during my pregnancy. One is called Expecting Better, and it's a play on the famous book, What to Expect When You're Expecting, which in my opinion is very traditional. It has a very traditional outlook on pregnancy. It's been the go-to book for decades, and they update it. But anyway, it's just a little too traditional for me. So this woman named Emily Oster, she is this like economist. She, when she got pregnant, she was like, why is this the only book out there? Why am I not allowed to do a certain thing? I just want to know what the studies are. I don't want just a, you can't do that.
I need the data. Yep.
So then she wrote a book where she just compiled all sorts of studies and data. And I really liked that as like a person who likes to know why things are the way they are. So that book, Expecting Better, I loved reading that. And then she wrote another book called Crib Sheet, which is more focused on once the baby comes. And then I recently started following her on Instagram. She doesn't just like do pregnancy content. She also does parent content. So her Instagram handle is Prof. Emily Oster. Her tagline is like data-driven pregnancy and parenting. She's amazing. She does a lot of Q&As. And so people will send her weird questions and she answers them without any judgment. She's very stoic. Is that the right word? Like
even keel.
Even keel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's funny because one of the Q&As she did recently was you're reading Expectant Father and ridiculous study in the book that you're reading that somehow hasn't come up in any of the pregnancy books I've read.
Why are you mad at me? I'm reading books about pregnancy.
Because this one study is about like they surveyed like 65 people in a study and determined that the women they were less likely to get preeclampsia, whatever, if they engaged in a certain activity with their husbands while they were pregnant. And it's the activity that no pregnant woman wants to do. And anyway, without getting too graphic about it, so that question came up on her Q&A on Instagram, and she just stone-faced was just like, here are the facts. No, that's not true. And it was just like, she's amazing.
I've started following her. I have the notifications on whenever she does anything. So,
all right, we did it. I didn't cry.
Look at us. Look at you.
I ran out of breath, though. So, had I had all my breath, maybe I would have cried.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. If you want to leave us a comment for us to see, a little message or a question you'd like us to answer on the podcast, perhaps a topic suggestion, something you want us to revisit or go more into.
Or if you're Australian and you have some crazy way to describe anything,
please,
we would love to hear it.
Give it to me. There's a section on the Spotify portion of the podcast where you can leave, there's like a comment box. You can leave all those comments there. Or if you're watching on YouTube, put it in the comments and I'll grab it from there. Or if you would like to, you know, follow us on Instagram, the Kapower Hour Instagram account. You can DM us there. There's three ways for you to get your comment to us. And we appreciate you guys so much. So thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
And
see you next week.
Yeah. We're Kapout.
We're Kapout. I thought you were going to push a button.
This is why I don't push buttons.